Few places in this country are more hostile right now for LGBTQI plus people than Texas, especially for young people. The relentless politicization of queer identities and lives has real consequences, and that's doubly true for young people of faith who identify as LGBT. That's why the just-completed Color Splash Out Youth Camp is so important, and why I'm so happy to have the organizer, the Reverend Yadi Martinez-Reyna, on State of Belief Radio. Yadi, welcome.
Thank you.
Please describe the camp experience for us. Who was it for, and how did it go?
Well, a year ago, I finished seminary, and I got together with some friends from Bright Divinity, where I was in seminary, and I said, we should do a camp. And they said, well, there's camps. I mean, you know, there's already a camp going on. There's all these camps. And I said, no, a camp for LGBTQ youth. And a lot of them got really excited, especially my trans siblings, and said, I wish there was something like this when I was growing up. And as a non-binary person, I started thinking about how even going to camp as an adult can be frightening. Where are you going to sleep? When you go swimming, how are you going to swim? How are you going to be treated? What bathroom are you going to use? I mean, what are all these things that arises even as an adult? So imagine a young person. And then there's the faith component, the attack from all these religious organizations saying, you know, don't say gay in Florida. And, you know, all this media stuff that's coming up in Texas, the legislation that affects our kids. And so we were like, there's no better time to do it than now. And so we started talking with a camp in New Braunfels. And I went down for a visit and said, you know, we would love to have a camp here. This is what we would love to do and partner with you. And so it just started really with a group of friends saying, we should do this. And as I started going through all the things, it has to be intentionally safe and brave for people. So we're going to change the things that camp normally does, giving them their name tags. We're not going to do that until they're in their houses. We're not going to call them cabins. We're going to call them houses, house of, because we want them to feel like in the queer community, especially in the 80s, there was this thing about choosing your house, your family. And so I wanted to have that going on in this camp. So we call them houses, not cabins. So you get to choose where are you going to sleep? Is it going to be with the trans, the boys, trans girls, or is it going to be all girls, or is it going to be a non-binary cabin? And so we started slowly figuring these things out, and we realized we want to be intentional about name tags. We want to be intentional about preferred gender pronouns. We want to be intentional about where they sleep. We want to be intentional about the activities we do. And so it has been an amazing experience to have seen it to fruition. I mean, we had the components of an empowerment workshop. So we had a dear friend of mine, Carmarian Anderson, who works at the HRC Alabama, join me and do an entire workshop about vision boards and how to envision yourself successful. We did another workshop on what does it mean to be non-binary? What does it mean genders? And Chris Page from Trans Faith in Boston helped me with that one. And so all these friends of mine, and I was honest from the beginning, I was like, I have no money. I have nothing. Could you help me with this? And they were like, yes, we'll be there. And so everything that we wanted to happen, even if it was just us trying to put our resources together. And the most important thing I think that happened was we created a drag show. And for a summer faith camp, that was the first, a drag show. But we wanted to reclaim back what drag is, which was about family, which was about feeling pride, which is about performing. And so we wanted to also be intentional about that. And so we call it drag show / talent show, because we wanted this camp to be for LGBTQ plus youth, but also for their ally friends. And that was a crucial part, because our ally friends help us get through really hard times.
That's great. So you mentioned all of these anxieties that kids come to camp with, no matter what their sense of self is. Can you take us inside just a little bit, the conversations you had with the people who helped you plan this camp, as to how you raised these very difficult questions for any kid with a group of kids who are also used to being cautious about expressing themselves in terms of their identity?
Well, the anxiety of where you're going to sleep is huge. Like I said, even for adults. So right. For a young person to know from the start, from registration, that they get to choose what house or what gender to go to was imperative. But we also know that there might be parents who don't understand or might not register in that way. So, or kids that might not be out in faith communities. And so we could have a young person that a parent say, well, this is a girl and I'm going to put her in the girls' cabin. But when they arrive, they might be trans. They might just not have been out, or mom might not have been on board when they with the registration. And so when we talked to the house leaders, we said, okay, this is where they're going to be. But when they arrive and parents leave, we're going to ask, is this your cabin? And so we had our house leaders, which was two per house per se, welcome them, but also ask, is this your cabin? And with the understanding that we might be transferring them to another cabin. And that was perfectly fine. Swimming, we wanted to make sure we told them there's swimming going on, but we want you to be you. And so the adults, the leaders, brought extra t-shirts, they brought shorts, they brought towels. We even had someone bring a binding because we were aware that we had a trans young man who had lost his. And so right that day, they ordered one on Amazon. It arrived the next day to camp. And we were like, we need to do this. We need to be, you know, prepare next time to have some stuff. But it was the first time we did this, but we wanted to make sure that those fears were in our minds when we welcome these kids.
So that's the wonderful part that you've talked about. Let's talk about Texas. What do you see the political and religious assaults on queer people doing to them right now in places like Texas?
Greg Abbott came out with this idea, and it was an opinion. It wasn't law. It did not go into law. It went from court to court. It was upheld. The Children Protective Services started investigating. Then there was another ruling. Then it was down. And so as adults, we know that. We know that it's not law. It's not true. It's back and forward. But for a young person that listens to or sees in social media, or hears their friends, or sees it on TV or whatever, it's law. It's real. They're coming at me. They're going to stop my transition or my health. They're going to come after my doctor. They're going to put my parents in jail. And this fear, even though these are not laws, these fears were coming out. And we were beginning to see how these young people were so even terrified to come out. And if they were out, terrified that they were going to be asked to stop what they were doing, and for many of them, this is life-saving health issues and concerns. And so for those students that have gone through the work of being in therapy and working with their parents and finally getting to a place where they're getting help, and then seeing a government official speak against them or speak so low of this, and even calling it abuse, it just sent this turmoil on these kids.
You had a range of experiences for the young people there. Talk about what they were able to share in and why all of that was so important to include. You mentioned the drag and talent show, for example.
Yes.
What was so important about that?
The leaders, the house leaders, brought with them bows, dress-up clothes, rainbow flags, tutus. They brought with them all kinds of stuff because even though nobody signed up for the track show when they registered or for the talent show, we were so committed to opening a space for them that we even had leaders perform. We're like, okay. And I said, friends, I need you all to perform because nobody signed up. But by Saturday night, I had a list of teams that wanted to perform. And they wanted to sing, and they wanted to, and the reason it was so important was that they got to be themselves. They got to explore what it meant to perform. Some of them were just there for their, were allies and were there for their friends. And so they got makeup up too, and they got up there too, and they were singing with them. Some of the houses perform as an entire house. And so it was just important to say, this is sacredness. This is community. This is what being whole is. This is what being together is. And so right after the drag show, we went into worship. And I said, and there is no difference as we go into this, because all of this is sacred.
So it's wonderful to have a safe space to explore different aspects of yourself like this, especially with a community that is enthusiastic about it. I'm very impressed. For me listening to it, that's the most powerful thing. What do you think was most powerful for the people who were attending the camp?
I had many house leaders who said, I'm down for next year. I'm in. And anything else you need from here to there, let's get together and let's plan something. Let's make it a nonprofit. They were so excited as leaders to have seen and to have witnessed what this 4 days did for these young people. And when we asked the young people, do you want to say some words? Do you want to come up and say something? A lot of them said, I found my place. I found my community. I don't feel like a freak, an outcast. I don't feel I'm home. And that was just like that bow on a gift. It was just like perfect. You know, as organizers or our leadership team, we knew we were like, oh, we missed this. Oh, we should have done this. Oh, we should, you know, and we had all these things. But when you saw those teens and their faces and their appreciation, you were like, it worked fine. It worked great. For being the first time, we did a great job coming together and doing this.
So that's great. I mean, look, it's summer camp too.
Yes.
So what was just the most fun?
Well, a lot of them would say the drag show, because they complained that it was not enough
I'll
time.
Bet.
They were like, I kept saying, okay, we're going to have to transition to worship. But no, one more song. And so a lot of them said, you know, we would like to have more time to dress up. And so that for them, the most fun was makeup, lights, music, art, putting it together. Because we wanted to also make sure that they were a part of the creation. So we wanted to empower them, because we might have kids who might want to be in aviation or in makeup, or might want to do. And so we wanted to make sure that they also got included in these things. And so they said, we want more time doing this. So I would say that was the most fun part for them.
Listen, that's the best feedback you can get when somebody says to you, this was great, but not enough.
Yes.
Are there things that you learned from the experience of those 4 days that will inform how you organize in the future?
Yes. We need to bring with us more resources. We met young people who mentioned to some of their house leaders, you know, my mom is struggling. You know, we don't have a lot. I wish that maybe we should have brought some other things. And so for this coming year, we're gathering things, clothes, or we're gathering supplies for school or things like that, that when we come back and we know of these things, we can give them to these young people. And one of the things that really inform also how we move forward is we found out that we have a lot of our young friends who are neurodiverse. So they needed more hands-on things. They needed more for workshops, or they needed more more stimulating things to be a part of. So because, you know, we had young people that had ADHD or HDD, you know, I mean, attention deficit disorder. And we had young people who were not comfortable with just being silent for an hour. So they all had to take a nap, and the silence for some of them drove them like, I don't want to do this. And so we learned that we have in our community some things that we have to address. We're creating the next year's camp. We want to be able to provide resources. We want to be able to have spaces that they can thrive, and that we don't trigger anything that they might have had a bad experience in. So silence for some that had trauma, it just, we wish we would have known, and we would have maybe done something different. And so we gave them a tablet back, and, you know, because we are electronic free and things like that, but we wanted to make sure that maybe we should have had some coloring books, and maybe we should have had an area where maybe they don't take a nap, but they can still interact coloring or doing things or building something. And so my next camp, we are aware of the things that they need, the different things we need to address. And it's really helped us see that there is no one model fits all.
Well, thanks for slipping in that announcement that there will be a next camp.
Oh, yes.
That's a good thing to know.
Absolutely. There is.
So, Yadi, so many people in this country are distraught over what's happening in the brutal culture wars and the harm that it's doing. How would you advise them to go about getting involved and making a difference in their own communities the way you're doing in yours?
One of the things that I believe is important is to find out if the school district that you're in has a gay-straight alliance. And if they do, to find out who is in charge and then connect with them, because they will tell you what are the needs of your local area. They will tell you how they can use your help. Some of these kids in schools are just in so much in need of a mentor or of a figure that is supportive. And so by connecting with these organizations, Gay Straight Alliance or a local chapter, then you or supporting one town next or whatever. But by doing this, you will really get to come into that safe space.
That's terrific. Now, if our listeners have been paying attention during this interview, you have rattled off any number of things that could make your ministry more successful. People could make contributions in kind. They could make contributions in cash. They could volunteer to come and bring their particular skills to the camp. They might even invite you to another community to recreate this situation. All right?
Yes.
All those are great suggestions, but they have to find you. How do they do that? How can people be in touch with you to offer support for this wonderful program?
Absolutely. So we finally have a website. It's colorsplashout.org.
All one word.
All one word.
That's great. And there they will find information about how to be in touch with you and how to make contributions of any kind to this wonderful experience.
Yes.
The Reverend Yadi Martinez Reyna recently led the first ever Color Splash Out Youth Camp for LGBTQI+ young people and their ally friends in Texas. They continue to find innovative ways to support and empower marginalized youth under the mission statement, creating intentional, safe, and brave space that welcomes all to their authentic self. Yadi, thank you so much for being with us today on State of Belief Radio.
Thank you for having me.